Hi, youngin. All right, fun. Big time fun. All right. Woohoo! My goodness alive. All right, testimonies tonight. What's going on? What's going on in your life? Yes, ma'am. Hey, all right. Oh, wow. Yeah. Amen. Baptized extravaganza. Amen. Alabama won. I don't know if that's really a testimony, but. You knew they would. All right. Roll Tide. Roll Tide. They rolled, didn't they? Yes, ma'am. So Alex is well from his gastro dealer. Yeah, bless his heart. Amen. We're just praying that they would be delivered from the what do we call that? The Communist Republic of California. Amen. You got a praise, don't you, Jack? Amen. Yeah. You didn't get thrown in jail for having your truck gun with you. That is a miracle, folks. That's a miracle. That's a praise, because Jack would not be here right now. He would be detained in the Communist Republic of California. You recording this, aren't you, brother? Yeah, amen. That needs to go out on the interweb right there. Communist Republic of California. Good people in California, but boy, man, they got some left liberal wax out there. Amen? Just tell it like it is. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, he does answer prayer, doesn't he? Amen. He does answer prayer. That's right. Any other praises or testimonies? Anything? Yes, sir. Amen, man. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jeremiah, you got anything back there? Hey, all right, brother. That's great. Amen. Yes, ma'am. All right. Hey, whoa, we do it. Yeah, we're going to pray. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. All right, let's take our Bibles. Genesis 37, 1 through 11. We're going to finish 11 tonight. Be done with this section and move on to the next. Genesis chapter 37, beginning in verse 1. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Genesis 37, beginning in verse 1 through verse 11. Hopefully, I don't know if we'll discover anything new tonight, but maybe we'll be reaffirmed in a few things. The Word of God reads this in Genesis 37, beginning in verse 1. There's a couple of words in here that I think I know how to pronounce. They were pretty tough reading them over and over again, but I think I got them. God's Word reads in Genesis 37, verse 1, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made," this is the word, obeisance to my sheep. And his brethren, that basically means to bow, all right, to prostrate oneself. Obeisance, I think that's it. And made up obeisance to my sheep. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in it tonight and to come and sing these songs and the fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, to just to be in this place and to, Lord, just to have the Holy Spirit bind us together this evening, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for the kids next door, and we thank you for the youth next door, Lord. We just pray for blessings there and open minds and open hearts there, Lord. And we pray for open minds and open hearts here. And may you just encourage us with your word, Lord, and equip us and convict us where we need to change, where we need to confess. And Lord, just make us more into you, your image, because we made the decision to come here tonight and to worship you and not forsake the assembling of ourselves. We love you tonight. We praise you. Thank you for our salvation. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Well, how much of Genesis is devoted to the generations of Jacob? Anybody take notes last week? How much? Na, 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 na. Anybody? 25%. One quarter. In comparison, Genesis records God giving us the creation of the universe in how many words? Anybody? No. Five. That is correct, brother. Five. What are the words? He made the stars also. Genesis 1:16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, the creation of the universe. Five words, and that light just burned out. All right, that one's out, okay? However, God devotes chapter after chapter to the story of the descendants of Jacob, the principal descendant being Joseph, right, which garners most of the focus, is this man Joseph, who was not even in the Messianic line, all right? And so a couple questions for review. Why do theological, biblical scholars, Old Testament scholars, why do scholars surmise this emphasis on Joseph, one of Jacob's sons? Why do they surmise this emphasis? Okay. Not quite. Moses wrote Genesis from experience or from... from tradition. Now, it's tradition affirmed by the person of the Holy Spirit. Scripture comes to us via inspiration of the Holy Spirit, whether it be in the Old Testament or the New Testament. It is affirmed and inspired by God's Holy Spirit. But when it comes to Genesis, he wrote it via oral tradition that had been passed down to him. Where he wrote the other books of the law from experience affirmed by the Holy Spirit. And I think we've already mentioned it, somebody's already mentioned it. Who do scholars think was one of Moses' main sources for Genesis? His godly mother, Jochebed. That is correct. So this last section then is an account of God's working in the life of Jacob and of his sons through the chosen instrument, Joseph. Joseph is certainly the central figure in these chapters, but he is not the only figure. Why? Because God is doing what? God is forming a nation out of all of the sons of Jacob and Joseph's sojourn in Egypt and his ultimate elevation to the post of prime minister under Pharaoh makes possible the preservation of Jacob and his sons so that they can be this nation, amen, and not intermarry with the Canaanites, amen, and be what God wanted them to be, amen, the vehicle for the Messiah to come through, amen. So it's all good tonight, okay? So last week we talked about that authority is often difficult to submit to. We still all agree with that, amen? That's difficult to submit to. We ended talking about Joseph's coat. This coat of what? It was a coat of many colors, man. We've heard that, seen that, taught that. I mean, it's been drilled into us. Joseph's coat was a symbol of the authority he was granted over his brothers. That's the charge I was making last Wednesday night. In the context of our passage, I believe that Joseph's coat, based on what I've studied and read, was considered to be symbolic of his authority in the same manner as stripes on the sleeve of a military uniform. Joseph's brothers hated this garment. They hated it. And what it symbolized for their first act of violence was to do what? They stripped that coat off him. Said, we'll show you a coat of many colors. Give it here. You know, and I'm holding on to it, and they just force it off of him and take it, right? 37:23 reveals that to us. The greatest antagonism toward Joseph, now as we try to go through the remainder of this passage, beginning in verse 2, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. The greatest antagonism toward Joseph was first from the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. Verse 2 tells us that. The two brothers who attempted to release him were Reuben and Judah. These were the sons of Leah, as Genesis 37:21 and 26 tells us. There's little doubt that both Bilhah and Zilpah would be on a socially lower pecking order within the family unit than Leah and Rachel. I mean, who was the favorite? Rachel, and then Leah, and then the concubines, right? Okay? Since they were mere concubines, and Leah and Rachel were full-fledged wives. Now, I know the Scripture calls them wives, and they were certainly wives by consummation here, but Leah and Rachel were certainly probably held more to held in more esteem. So this social stratification would naturally be reflected in the sons of these women, and so it is not difficult to believe that Jacob would have put Joseph in charge of the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. Not only was he in charge of them, but he was in charge of all of the sons, right? And why was he in charge of them? The light just came back on. Why was he in charge of them? So this must be a good question if the light came on. Amen? Yeah. Why was he in charge of them? Because the one son, the oldest son, did what? He defiled his father's bed, right, by lying with one of the wives. Okay, so that's why Joseph got the nod. That's why he's got the coat. That's why he's in charge. So Joseph's brothers, the intensity of Joseph's brothers' reaction to his dreams. We read about two dreams in the passage. The intensity of Joseph's brothers' reaction to his dreams indicate that there must have been some substance to their fears of Joseph assuming such great power and prominence. Joseph's brothers, as we go through the passage, as we read it, verses 8, let's look at that. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him. Wow! They hated him. It says, yet the more for his dreams. Man, that's pretty tough, isn't it? Hate is a strong word, isn't it? Don't you tell your kids when they say hate, don't say hate. That's a strong word. Let's say dislike, or, you know, it's yucky. But let's don't say hate, right? That's a powerful word. Right? Hated him more for his dreams and for his words. Verse 11, and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. So they envied him and they hated him. Now, think about dreams, because I dream often, I guess because I go into deep sleep often, right? And so I have these dreams. I don't know if you folks dream much. Dreaming's pretty cool. And when I wake up, it's always, I can tell you about the dream, but by the time I get to lunchtime, I forgot the dream. I don't even know what I dreamed. Right? The dream's gone, right? I mean, with the Sandman, the dream leaves, I guess. I don't know. But idle, and I've had some wackadoo dreams over the years, but idle or fanciful dreams provide an occasion for what? Well, for laughter. Hey, man, check this guy out. He's talking about sheaves and his sheave. I mean, you know, you would think you would laugh that off around the dinner table, right? Oh, not with these guys. No. Why? Because there was a fear in them. There was a fear. Under most circumstances, the worst that might be considered would be that Joseph needed to be put into a padded cell for his own protection for a while with these crazy dreams. Right? But they don't do that. See, because of the knowledge and evidence of Joseph's authority and leadership and capabilities, his brothers were fearful of Joseph receiving and acting with greater status and power. Because, see, man, I mean, if Reuben's not going to be the guy, then it's the guy right behind Reuben that ought to get the reins, that ought to get the coat of many colors, not this junior buck way down here. The second guy. Man, what's Dad doing? This ain't right. It's not fair. That's what Jacob's doing. He's doing what he's led to do, right? I was talking to one of the kids in chapel today, and they were telling me that their father thinks that the sport of football, not the people that play football, but the sport of football is evil. He will not watch it. He will not allow it to be aired in his house on the TV station. And so one of our students was asking me, what do you think about that, Pastor Lee? I said, well, does he pay the bills there? And she said, yeah. I go, is it his house? And she said, well, yeah. I said, well, he's entitled to his opinion. If he's paying the bills, he can say whatever he wants to about football as far as I'm concerned. Amen. I ain't living there. He is. And you're living there what? Underneath his a roof and authority. So if he don't want no football on, I guess he's paying the bills. You ain't watching football, right? I'd find something else to watch. Amen. I mean, that's how it rolls. Daddy's what? Daddy's in charge. Daddy's paying the bills. Daddy, you know, makes the living. He don't want that on. It's not on. If Jacob wants Joseph to be the head of the brothers, guess what? Joseph's going to be the head of the brothers. Now, it comes with consequences, we know, but God's sovereign, and he works through all of those consequences, all right? So, therefore, the brothers' response was acted upon with grim determination and zeal, man. They wanted him. Now, this is where we're going to end it tonight as we talk about the last part of verse 11 here, or the last part, not the last part of verse 11, but the last part of this passage, verse 1 through 11. And that is this. If you've never heard it, let this be fresh to you. If you have heard it, let this remind you. But Joseph is a type of Christ. And we've talked about types of Christ going through the book of Genesis. And there's a lot of types of Christ as we march on through the Old Testament. But Joseph, as a type of Christ, experienced on a smaller scale, experienced on a testimonial scale, experienced on kind of a model scale, what Jesus Christ experienced on a grand scale. Make sense to you? All right? See, the cause of Joseph's rejection would most accurately be a refusal to submit to the authority. Here we are talking about submitting to authority again. All right? Here we are talking about submitting to authority again. The cause of Joseph's rejection would most accurately be a refusal to submit to the authority of one who threatened personal power and prestige. Make sense? Hopefully it will as we go through this. Joseph was rejected by his brethren because they deeply resented the authority Jacob the father had granted him over them, especially when they reasoned that the authority should be theirs. This is the very root reason for the rejection of Jesus by the religious leaders of his day. Make sense? There it is. When Jesus taught the people, the response of the masses was significant. Matthew chapter 7, write it down, or if you want to flip there quickly, Matthew 7 verses 28 and 29. Sermon on the Mount, this is what it says. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. What a blow This must have been to the pride of Israel's leader. Jesus' authority, as revealed by the masses, is the reason why the religious leaders resisted the Master with this challenge. Matthew chapter 21, verse 23. Matthew 7, 28 and 29, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 21, 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority dost thou these things, and who gave thee this authority?" Jesus was average in his appearance. Jesus was average in his height, as far as I know. Average guy. He walked past you. The teacher, the Jewish rabbi. But when he squared up and he took the scrolls that were handed to him from the Moses closet, or he squared up and he began to teach a parable, or he squared up in front of a group of people, or you put him in a boat and you cast him just offshore, and he squared up or he sat down, when he opened his mouth and the Word of God came out of him, they knew it was different than anything else they had ever heard. Amen? Because it was the Word of God speaking the Word of God. It was the revelation revealing the God Almighty. The Son of God. Wow. They couldn't wrap their heads around him. Just like Joseph's brothers couldn't wrap their heads around him. By what authority? How in the world has Jacob, how has our father given you this? The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, these religious leaders. How, God did what? You're who? I'm the Son of God, Son of Man. What? Yeah. Lord of the Sabbath, by the way, too. I mean, well, that's just got to be incredible, right? To be there the first century and to experience that firsthand. That's amazing. Joseph was rejected by his brethren because he, the youngest of these men, except for Benjamin, of course, was placed in a position of authority over them. This rejection of Joseph's authority, coupled with the sensationalism of even greater preeminence as foreshadowed by Joseph's dreams. You know, I've made you mad, or you seem, my perception is that you're upset about the coat of many colors, but I've got to be honest with you, I've had a dream, right? And so he spills that on them. And then they really spool up, and then, you know, a couple days down the road, I've had another dream, right? I mean, he just keeps pouring it on, doesn't he, right? He just keeps giving it to them, right? With a sensationalism of even greater preeminence. I mean, the second dream even gets his father wound up a little bit, right? The one who's given him the authority, right? The sensationalism of even, I'm not dead yet, man. What are you talking about? I'm going to bow down to you. You know, you get all of this when I'm gone, right? You get all this when I'm gone. I'm not gone yet. Are me and your mother going to bow down to you? Sensationalism of the two dreams. I mean, you kind of get the gist of what Jacob's going through, right? I hope so. Coupled with the sensationalism of even greater preeminence as foreshadowed by Joseph's dreams led the brothers to conclude that they must do away with him in order to protect their own position. Their own position. As we end this evening, it is my charge to you this evening that this same attitude by Joseph's brothers and the religious leaders in the first century during Jesus' day is still in operation. It's still an expression to this day. And so the big question, what am I talking about? What am I talking about? What am I talking about when I say that attitude is still in operation and expression today? Huh? The pecking order? Okay, what else? Yeah, Brother Mike? People tend to rebel against authority? Okay. Right? Nobody's going to tell me what to do. That is correct. Talking to one of our young students today, and we were talking about Jesus, right? We were talking about salvation. And one of the questions was, well, how in the world do you how in the world do you know that God is sinless? He says he's sinless. The Bible says it, but how do you know that, Pastor? I go, well, because he died for my sin. Yeah, but how? I go, hey, all the empirical evidence eventually ends and it comes down to a faith transaction. You know, you gotta step off into faith. You gotta have faith. And we've got one student in that junior high school group that does not believe the Bible. Does not believe the Bible is the Word of God. Just one. But I appreciated his honesty. You know, because if you believe that book, you've got to submit. You've got to submit. And see, this is easy believism. Easy believism, vain faith. John, we talked about 2 or 3 weeks ago in men's Bible study, vain faith. We were talking about that vain, and I think we've talked about it on Sunday or Sunday night. Maybe Sunday night, last Sunday night, vain faith. These things run together. It's difficult sometimes. But this easy believism is Jesus is real, Jesus died, Jesus resurrected, yada, yada, yada. I believe in Jesus. Jesus is cool. I'm all right with Jesus. Me and Jesus, yay. But one of the kids, the wheels were turning today. The wheels were turning, right? Some of them are getting old enough to figure out the difference between easy believism and true salvation. The demons and the demonic and the devil, they all believe Christ. Believe in Christ, they get it. The difference between a saved person and the demonic and a saved person and somebody who has easy believism, a saved person has made Jesus their personal Lord and Savior. Yeah. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says you're a new creation. All things have passed. Behold, all things are new. You're different. You're different, right? You're different. So not only are you, when you get saved, not only are you're not trying to buck authority when it comes to Christ, you're wanting to know how you need to live. How you need to live, right? Yeah. And so the same, ain't nothing changed, man. I mean, it was going on in Genesis. It was going on in the first Genesis with Joseph. Reuben with Jacob. I mean, it kicking against the goads, rebellion against authority. It was going on in the first century. Who gave you this authority, man? When you teach and you speak, you can't heal people on the Sabbath. What are you doing, man? We've got rules and regulations. And then he just does it anyway. Amen? He just does it anyway because he's Lord of the Sabbath. Right? Who gave you all this authority? Well, he is authority. He's the truth. Right? He's the light. He's God. He's God in the flesh. All because of I want to hold on to this position. I want to have this piece of power. I want to have this kind of control. The Bible says if we die to ourselves, we what? We gain our lives back. The Bible says if we what? Y'all, help me out. If we decrease, I go, John, what is it? New Testament. And then I gotta be done. John. I've been calling Barry Harris John for about 3 weeks. Well, he's a gracious guy. You know what? I think he forgives me. Amen. His name ain't John Harris. Miss Harris's son that brings. Yeah, it's Barry. Ronnie, I called you Jerry, I think, for a month. Amen. Uncle Jerry, that's sorry. Oh, my soul. Is it in here? John 10? Okay, that's John 3:30. Shepherd and sheep. Make it works.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah.
That's the gist of it. We'll find the address, and I'll bring it to you next week. But that's still going on. Amen. So that's what people need help with. How do we help them? Well, we just keep living the gospel before them. We just keep getting the Word of God in us so we can get the Word of God in them, right? We just keep being encouraged in the Spirit so we can live an encouraged life. We just keep being ready, equipping ourselves, praying for them. Because for a lot of people, that's really what it comes down to. You know, a lot of people reject Christ because it's a guilt-shame issue, and they don't think they're good enough, don't think God will take them. Man, I've got to clean my life up and do all this stuff. I'm just not ready. Let me get all this out of my system, and then I'll come back to the altar, and then I'll get saved. I mean, that's some people, but there's, I think, more people that are just like, yeah, you know, I think I got this deal on my own. If I need Jesus, I know where to come. I know where to call. I know who to call. But, you know, this is my life, and I'm running this show, and I'm never going to die, and I'm bulletproof, and don't tell anybody, but I'm really Superman. I mean, you know, that's the mindset, right? Or at least that was my mindset for some time. I don't know. All right, let's pray so we can get to our prayer time. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for our study and your Word. And Lord, may it bring fruit. May we be an encouragement to others and confront others in love, Lord, and love sinners. And Lord, pray for folks that we need to pray for, to witness to. And Lord, we just pray that we just keep carrying your Word out. We keep lifting you up. And Lord, your Holy Spirit just keeps drawing folks. Get them one step, two steps, three steps closer to making that big decision. That you are not just a historical reality, but you are their Savior and their Lord. You're taking them to heaven, but until then, you are in charge of their life. Lord, may we not be afraid of that part of salvation. May we embrace the fact that you're in control and in charge, and we're to submit to your authority. You are the great I am. You are our provider, sustainer, sovereign God. May we willingly submit to your will and your way and your Word. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. All right. All right, Doug.